Okay, good morning, everybody. Shavua Tov. I hope everyone had a beautiful Shabbos and a meaningful weekend and an easy tainus and an uplifting tainus with some introspection and thoughts of the power of the day. It is the beginning of the 3 weeks. Yesterday we fasted Shuvah Sarba Tamas, but it was really Yorches Tamas. So as we journey through this very difficult time of Churban and Galus, it is a very opportune time for us to work on Inyan Yishmir Salashon, because it was the swords of the tongue that contributed to the destruction of the first temple, and Sinas Chinam that caused the destruction of the second temple, as per Yom Matas Amar Beis. And so therefore we must rectify the sins of swords of tongue and baseless hatred if Ba'azrat Hashem we want to see the third Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, which we all want to see very, very soon. So let us begin to Tefillah Al HaDibur, please. Yibana Sha'olam Hiratzim Afanecha Al Rachim V'chanan Shetizakeni Hayim Al-Vachayim Lishmar Piyu Lishani Milashin Haru V'chilas Ve'ezarim L'daber Afilah Al Yishyachim Akal Shekena Klaiso, O Achelak Mahim, Akal Shekin Misraim Amidosef Shal Kalish Baruchu, Bezarm Lidaber de Reshekar Hanufa Mechlokes Kaas Gaiva Ona Astvarim, Halbanas Panim, Eitsanus, Vacholdiber Asr, Vizakinish Lil Lidaber Kim Dabar Hatsarichli, Nani Gufi Vinafshi, Yukal Masaiva de Bura the Shem Shemaim, Amen Va Amen. We are learning the Zecher and the Yiluinish Mastzvi Gershon, Ben Yol Vechana Alav Hashem. May the Neshama continue to have a Zchus Aliyah and the Zchus of the Avoda that we undertake through this learning. Should also be Zchus Aliyah Neshama for Zev Vov Ben Yeshaya Alav Hashem. May the Neshama also have an Aliyah. And with your permission, a Zchus for Besoros Tovus and Refuas for Brachel Avigaya Bas Rachel Gita Besoch She'er Chalei Yisrael. So let us continue our learning. If you recall, we are going through the piece by Harav Avigdor Miller, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in Torah Avigdor on Parshas Bahar, Speak with Care. The past couple of classes, we have been speaking about Inyan Shmir Salashim in the home specifically, and not causing damage and harm through our words to the people with whom we are closest to the people with whom we share our lives. Last time we learned a very, very powerful piece, if you will, about Yaakov and his relationship with Rachel, and when she demanded children, his response. So if you missed it, you could always go into YU Torah and catch up with our past classes. So I'm going to be continuing with Harav Avigdor Miller now, okay? Part 2, Venomous Speech. Okay, so this is Torah Avigdor, and we're bringing in additional sources, of course, and using this as the springboard. So now we're up to Part 2, Venomous Speech. Okay, the heavenly drama. So he quotes the Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Erechin that L'asid Lavo, in the time to come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to put on a great drama, a pantomime. Who's going to be the audience? Who's going to come and watch the play? Us. All of mankind will assemble to watch the play. So I'm going to quote from the Gemara in Erechin. I'll tell you what happened. I went online, I put in my own notes to screen share with you. You know the website I always use to screen share. Safaria, it's not loading this morning. So I could prepare and I could read it here, but I couldn't get Safaria to load. So I can't it wasn't loading, I don't know why. So I can't screen share it because the website seems to be down, so I'm just going to relate it and you'll have to listen instead of being able to actually follow along. Okay, so this is the Gemara. I went to look up the Gemara and I was preparing the share that Rav Miller refers to. It's Emesachas Arachin Tasvav Amabes. And the Gemara says as follows, V'amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, Ma'i Dichtiv, what is the meaning of the Pasuk? He quotes a Pasuk from Kohelas. The Pasuk says, Im Yishoch HaNachash Below Lachash. If a snake bites, Yishoch HaNachash, if a snake bites, because it was not charmed, the Ein Yisrael Nabal HaLashon, then the speaker has no advantage. So what does this Pasuk mean? If a snake bites because it was not charmed, then the speaker has no advantage. So for example, if you have a dog and a dog bites because it was not trained, then a speaker has no advantage. What are we talking about here? So the article footnote tells us, this is from Kohelas, Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Simply, article footnote explains, the verse means, if there is a snake and a snake charmer, and the snake bites someone because the charmer did not exercise his powers, there's no advantage to his art. So if you have a snake and you have a snake charmer, the snake charmer says that they know how to control the behavior of a snake. But the snake still bites someone in the presence of the charmer, and the charmer did not exercise his powers, there's no advantage to his craft. So he hasn't done anything. He can't prove that he has a good craft. He has no craft. So that's what the Pasuk says. Kohelas Yud Pasuk Did Aleph. Im Yishoch HaNachash Below Lachash. And this this is the Gemara, Reish Lakish quotes this pasuk. If a snake bites because it was not charmed, the Ein Yisro and the Baal Halashon, the speaker has no advantage. So now the Gemara says, La Asid Lavo, in the future, Miskabsos Kol HaChayos, all the animals will be gathered, Uvaos Eitzel Nachash, and they will come to the Nachash, the Omos, and all the animals will say, we're talking about B'Yemos HaMashiach, La Asid Lavo, in the end of days, and they will say, Ari Do Reis V'Ochel, a lion claws, a lion tears its prey. If you've ever watched amazing nature documentaries, or even more, Ben Zocha to be on a real life African safari, which I have not yet Ben Zocha to do in my life. But if you have Ben Zocha to see such a thing, you know that a lion tears its prey, but it eats the prey. The purpose of what the lion does is for food. That's how Hashem made it. The lion's not doing bad or good. The lion's going according to its instinct, which is how Hashem programmed it to get its food. Ze'ev toreif ve'ochel. So to a wolf tears its prey, the Gemara continues. It kills the prey, but it eats the prey. That's what the wolf is supposed to do. So all these animals, when they act aggressively, what they're doing is what they're programmed to do, and they benefit from the act of aggression. Ata, but all the animals will say to the Nachash, Mahana Yeshach, what benefit do you have from what you do? What do? You bite people and you kill them. But what benefit do you have from biting and killing people? Because the snake doesn't eat people. The snake eats mice, rodents, small animals. The snake doesn't eat people. But what is the point of biting people? Omer lahem, and the snake will answer, V'chi ma yisro nebal halashon. What advantage is there for the speaker of Lashon Hara? The snake will answer, and he say, don't ask me why I am biting people without advantage. Ask someone who speaks Lashon Hara why they're biting someone without advantage. And the art school footnote tells us, the Maharal explains, that the snake and the speaker of Lashon Hara are anomalies in this world. Because unlike all other creatures, they will act evilly, they will act wickedly, without personal benefit. So the snake, you know, think of like a rattlesnake, chas v'sham, that bites someone, I don't know, in the desert in Arizona, if such a thing happens, if that's where they are local to the territory over there, it doesn't eat the person, it just bites it. When a ze'ev or an ari, or an eagle swoops down and catches salmon from the river, that's how Hashem made it. But what's the point of the Nachash bite? Nothing. What's the point of Lashon Hara, of Rechilas, of Motzi Shemra, of Habanas Panim? What benefit do you have from these things? Unlike all the creatures, the Maharal explains, they will act evilly and cruelly without personal benefit, both the snake and the speaker of Lashon Hara. This indicates that the Maharal, that their very essence is evil, and their behavior is an expression of this wickedness that lays within. It's one thing to be an act of to cause an act of aggression if it's for a to'elas, like Hashem programmed the lion. He wouldn't even say it's an act of aggression. He would say that that's what the lion needs to do in order to live. But to just bite someone simply because for no purpose, this is the biggest act of evil that there is. So now we go back to Rabbi Victor Mill. So that was the Gemara. I couldn't screen share it with you because there's something wrong with Sefaria. However, I related the Gemara to you with my art school of English translation of footnotes. So now let's go back to Rabbi Victor Mill. So the Gemara Maseches Erechin says that La'asid Lavo, in the time to come, Kosh Baruch Hu will put on a big drama, a pantomime. And who's going to be in the audience? Us. All of us will be assembled to watch. Now we understand what Avigdor Miller says next. I just want to make sure it's working. Now we understand, who says Avigdor Miller, plays are usually a waste of time. A waste of time. Sometimes they have to make tzedakah plays. Things like that. But Stam Azoya, play for entertainment, it's Narishkai. Not just direct quoting. Hey, the Pasuk tells us in Vayikra, Yod Chas Pasuk Gimel, K'mayis Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishavtem Ba, K'mayis Eretz Kanan Asher Ani Mivei Yaschama Shama, Lo Sasu, V'chu Koseim, Lo Seidichu, Chai Abn, No, Chai Sar, Achrim. So Rashi says there famously, what does it mean? They'll say they should not go to their theaters, should not go to their stadiums. So it used to be that theaters and stadiums were places of Avodah Zarah, idol worship. You could say the same kind of thing today about many theaters and many stadiums today. A lot that goes on there is completely inappropriate for Torah Yidden. Okay, so Rav Avigdor Miller says, plays are usually a waste of time. At tzedakah play, things like that, okay, but Stam Azoya, play for entertainment, it's Narishkeit. But if it's a performance put on by Hashem, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the producer, capital P, and the director, capital D, of the drama, then we understand that there's a big lesson to be learned. Now it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring onto the stage all of the wild animals. All the animals together on one side, and all on the other side, all by himself, will be the biting Nachash. And all the animals are going to confront the snake. They'll fall upon him. And they'll accuse him, "You wicked creature." He's not, I don't want to say embellishing the Gemara, chas v'sham, explaining the Gemara with a little bit more impact so we understand what Chazal are teaching us. What did you get out of biting people and injecting your venom into them? And then he quotes what they will say. Ata maha na'a yesh lecha. The animals will say to the nachash, "What benefit did you derive? When we fell upon prey," the animals will teach the nachash, "at least it was because we were hungry. But you didn't do it because you wanted to eat. Any creature that crossed your path, you would bite, merely to inject venom, to cause damage and harm for no purpose at all. That's wickedness." That's what the animals will say at this great drama. And all of mankind in the end of days will be viewing and listening and watching the play. But the snake will defend itself. The snake will say, "Why are you attacking me? There's a creature even worse than me. Go after him first." For those who signed on later, they made a bracha before I started the shiur. Recording. So this happened to be on Shabbos. I was so stunned. I was mamish so stunned. I was so shocked. I was summer Shabbos afternoon, and Sam came over to speak to me after the shiur, and there were other people there. And she said something that happened a number of years ago between me and her in total confidentiality in front of other people. I was astonished. It was so inappropriate. I can't give any details. I was beyond shocked that in a public place in front of other people, she would reveal something that was said in confidentiality. I was shocked. And I was very, very upset. And when I came home from the shiur, I really wanted to tell my husband. Because I was really upset. I really wanted to tell my husband. I was a big, big nisayon. Because on the one hand, they know Rav Naftali White says, we've quoted him many times, you're allowed to unburden yourself, share with a close confidant, it can't be exaggerated, you have to make sure no harm would come to the other person, you were there, it wasn't hearsay. I fulfilled all those requirements. I was just shocked. I was so shocked. I'm still so shocked that someone could be so insensitive. And then I thought, what benefit am I going to have from speaking about this person? What's it going to really help? My husband will validate my feelings. He'll tell me you were right. She shouldn't have said that. Then what? So I said, would the Gadol Hadar in my head, this whole thing's going on in my head, would the Gadol Hadar come home and speak about this? That's one thing I said. The other thing I said is, Micho, you have X amount of words. Remember, we've learned that before. A person has X amount of words to speak before, after 120, they're nifter. Do you want to use the X amount of words you have to relate this about this person who did that to you? That's one thing I thought. Well, the Gadol Hador say. The second thing I thought is, do I want to use up words that I have? It'll bring my demise closer if we only have X amount of words. And thirdly, what to'alis is there? Besides the fact that my husband will validate my feelings, and if I told you details of what would happen, you would also be shocked. But besides the fact that he'll validate my feelings, what else is going to happen? Nothing. So, bechaste Hashem, it was very hard. It was on my mind for a few hours, not just for 5 minutes. I did not say anything because what else would there have come? It's a battle. Well, we have to think. Now, obviously, if someone is in a situation where you really cannot tolerate it and you're in so much pain and you can rely, of course, on the psak, that you are allowed to unburden yourself to a close confidant, you can't exaggerate, it can't be hearsay, it really happened to you, no harm will come to the other party, okay? But I was able to overcome the taivit to speak about it. And it's not easy to overcome this taivit to speak about it. But when we can do it, you are upholding worlds. I must thank Esti Klein, who is on this call. Usually in the during the year, she is a teacher of Kinderlach, Baruch Hashem. So she can join. She listens to NYU Torah. So she reached out to me after last minute summer, no classes. So Baruch Hashem, she can join us during the Zoom. So she reached out to me after last class, because if you remember, after last class, we quoted from an article of Rabbi Ginsburg and Mishpacha, a very short excerpt, where he says, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, if a person works for 40 years on Inyan Shmir Salashan, and you hold back one time from speaking negatively, the whole of Odo is for Torahs. Could you imagine? If you work on this for 40 years, and you hold back one time, and you do not speak slanderous words, embarrassing words, words of ka'as, gaiva, or nas, dvarim, The whole avoda was worth it for that one time. So Esther Klein reached out to me after she heard the shiur online, and she said, "I'm reading the biography of the Chafetz Chaim Rabbi M.M. Yasher. I know you've quoted from it before because I read it years ago, and I do quote from it sometimes." So she sent me a screenshot, and she said, "Look at page 122 to 123." So I was very excited. I went to look it up. So here we go. Okay? Even afterwards, when Rav Yisrael Meir was already renowned everywhere. And he was renowned everywhere. Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kohen HaKegan, Zatzal, the Chavetz Chaim. Okay? Even after the Chavetz Chaim was renowned everywhere, people strove to acquire his published works. He has many, many works, not just works on Shmiras Lashem. First of all, the Mishnah Berurah, the magnum opus on Halacha. He has Nidchei Yisrael for soldiers in non-Jewish armies who were like pushed distant places, what they should do. He has the Sefer on Chesed, I forgot what it's called. He has many, many Sfarim. So even after he was renowned everywhere and people strove to acquire his published works, it happened that a certain merchant, a well-known learned Jew in Warsaw, once came and bought from him all of his published writings, except for the Sefer on Shmiras Lashon. Surprised, the Chavetz Chaim asked, "Why are you buying everything that I wrote? Or why did you omit this one volume?" The merchant replied, "He was a prosperous, large-scale merchant. His business affairs brought him into contact with many people. It was too difficult for him to abstain from Lashon Hara. What good would be then the study of the book? It would serve no purpose. I'm busy, see too many people, I do too much business, I can't keep the laws, so I'm not going to study the topic at all." Rav Yisrael Meir responded, "He once had the occasion to discuss this very question with Rav Yisrael Salanter." And that's why Esther reached out to me, because this is really a little bit of more in-depth from what we said last time. Rav Yisrael Meir Kohen Kagan of Radin, the Chavetz Chaim, responded to the merchant, "He once had the occasion to discuss this very question with Rav Yisrael Salanter, Chusi Al-Genereiru. A great scholar answered, quote, 'Even if it can evoke a sigh from the heart of the Jew, this itself is a great thing.' Said the Chavetz Chaim to the merchant, 'I beg you, buy the work and study the topic. Even if you will not be able to keep what it teaches, it will nevertheless evoke a sigh. And that sigh from your heart will be worthwhile in any case.'" Such is the power of studying in Yanei Shmiras Lashon. Could you imagine the Chavetz Chaim quoted the Chavetz Chaim quoted Rav Yisrael Salanter? "It's true, you might not be able to keep everything you study about, but if you study about it and it evokes a sigh from your heart, that sigh alone was worth it." So it's unbelievable. So Baruch Hashem, I was able, really, I used tools that we have learned in this class before, and I was able to not come home and speak about this woman. What was it going to help me? Would the God of Dor do it? And why should I waste my words? So what I do? I told Hashem, I'm shocked. I can't believe, I'm still shocked. I cannot believe somebody would do such a thing. I really cannot. But why would it help me to go talk about her? Sometimes you need to. Okay, so if you're in that situation that you need to, you need to. But if you can hold back and realize that no Torah is going to come of it, then I was able to hold back. And we have to think of all our years and efforts in studying this topic. So Salanter says, if you hold back one time, if you even saw, he says, the Chafetz Chaim, "Oy, Ribono Shalom, it's so hard for me." That's gewaldic, and it means you're making change. It's unbelievable. So going back to the Rav Avigdor Miller. So there's going to be a big play, and all the animals on one side and the Nachash on the other side, and they're going to say, what purpose did you have from biting and from injecting your venom? So the animals are going to say, when we bite, at least we eat the food. And the Nachash is going to say, why are you attacking me? There's a creature even worse than me. The Nachash will say, go after him first. Worse than you? Who's worse than you? The animals will ask. And the Nachash will turn around and will point at the audience. And he will say, it's him, the man with the wicked tongue. What benefit does he get by talking about other people and slandering them? I, at least, have an intrinsic need to protect myself. So if I think somebody is an enemy, I have an instinct to bite him, to poison him. But what does that man get out of poisoning people? Just to inject venom for no reason, for some little pleasure of shooting off the mouth? I'm quoting. So all of you wild animals, says the Nachash, should assemble. And if you want to accuse anybody, you should accuse the true guilty party, the Baal HaLashon, the one who speaks Lashon Hara. That's what the Nachash will say in his defense. He'll say, don't come to me. Why are you coming to me? Go to those people in the audience. They're the ones who are at fault. I've heard Rabbi Zavlev say a number of times, I never really had opportunity to tell it over. But here it relates beautifully to the Shia. And you know, I say it many times, I'm fascinated by Shorashim and Lashon HaKodesh. just fascinating. I always am so grateful when I learn a new connection that I didn't know before, and it just really opens your eyes. So Rabbi Zev Lev Shlita. Rabbi Zev Lev Shlita, listen to this. Maybe you know this. I never knew this. I've heard him say it a few times over the past few months. Different shirim. I just didn't have a couple of times. I didn't have time, opportunity to tell it over. Lashon, your tongue, Shmiras HaLashon, Nitzor Lashon Chameira, is from the root word Lash, Lamed Shin. Lash is to knead the dough. So we already know, because Michal says it all the time, that if two words that seem to be totally unrelated in Lashon HaKodesh share a root, then that means there has to be a connection between those two words. Now, you might not understand the connection between those two words. Like a couple of weeks ago in Pirkei Avos, we spoke about why Kalev ben Yefuna is called a Kalev. Okay? Kalev and Kalev are the exact same word. Why would Kalev be called a Kalev? We spoke about that a few weeks ago. There has to be a connection between Shoshim. It's a principle of Lashon HaKodesh. You might not know what the reason is, but it has to be. So I never thought of it till Rabbi Zavlev pointed out Lashon is from the root word, two root word of Lash. Lash means to knead. Okay, it's one of the malachos on Shabbos, but when you knead the dough. So why? Because he said with your tongue, you're kneading your thoughts and your words together to make speech. Isn't that beautiful? Lashon is called Lash because what you're doing is taking your thoughts and taking your words and kneading it all together to make this beautiful thing that we call speech, or to make this poisonous thing that we call speech. The choice is yours. What ingredients you choose to put into that dough are yours. You could choose whatever you want to put into the dough. Maybe you want to make a raisin challah, maybe you want to make a za'atar challah, you want to make garlic nuts with your challah, maybe you want to make cheese stuffed marinara to serve after Shavuos or Batamas with your challah. Whatever you chose to knead into the dough, maybe some people make chocolate chip challah, I don't know. That's what you knead into the dough. It's your choice. What you choose to knead into the dough, you take your machshava, you take your dibur, lash, your lashon kneads it all together, and then you produce the final product. So it's gvaldik. So the kasha is, that's from Rabbi Zev Lev, lash, lashon. So the kasha is, what do we choose to knead? It's very, very powerful. Take your machshava, what's your machshava? You take your speech, what's your speech? And you produce. You cause to burst forth this finished product. We have to make sure that it is tasty and palpable for all, and certainly for the Ribbono Shel Olam Kavi Achal. So the Nachash will say, look at the audience. They're the real guilty party. So all of you wild animals, says the Nachash, should assemble. And you shouldn't accuse me. You should accuse the Baal HaLashon. Lashon, that's where I brought you Rabbi Zevlev's idea of Lashon and Lash. The one who speaks Lashon Hara. Ma Yisrael Nabal HaLashon. What benefit is there to the man of bad tongue? So it means he is the very worst creature there is in the world. It means he's the very worst of all creatures. The very worst person is the Baal Lashon Hara. That's what this pantomime is going to demonstrate. And we have to remember who he's talking about, says Rav Victor Miller. He is talking about us. I'm going back to the Sefer of the Chofetz Chaim, quoting another excerpt by Rabbi M.M. Yashar. To fulfill his envisioned purpose, he, meaning the Chofetz Chaim, did not rely on his published work alone. At every opportunity, he would address the public, teaching the art of remaining quiet when necessary. In addition, he would encourage his students to learn how to give sermons and lectures. To speak to the people is a religious duty. To talk about the people, heaven forbid. So in other words, you could speak to someone and you could speak about someone. To speak to people, we must do. That's what human beings have a need and a desire and a purpose, to speak to people. To speak about people, never. When the prophet Yeshayahu spoke about the people, he defamed them and he said, among a people with unclean lips do I dwell, Yeshayahu Perek Vav. He was immediately punished. His tongue was scorched. Yet he was admired and revered for the strong, bitter words of rebuke with which he spoke to the people. So when the Navi spoke to the people, that was admirable. When he spoke about the people, for that he was punished. Once a student came to him, and he complained, Rabbi, you always stressed us we should give sermons and lectures to the people. Well, I held forth for 2 hours at a stretch before our congregations of listeners that filled the synagogue from wall to wall. And I do not see my words have had any particular influence that caused even one of them to improve. What is the use? The Rebbe, the Chavetz Chaim, replied, I am surprised at you for saying this. We know the rule that the Vilna Gaon cites in the name of the Medrash. For every moment, a man controls himself and keeps his mouth silent, he will be privileged in the future to bask in the great concealed light, which no angel can even conceive of. The Chavetz Chaim said, that's all for 1 minute. 1 moment of silence. Imagine, he said to his Talmud, what will be the reward for preventing an entire large congregation for 2 whole hours from saying anything slanderous. The value of this mitzvah cannot be measured. What more can you want? So even if you give a shir, and people, you give a dvar Torah, you give a tochacha said over properly, and people are quiet and they're listening. When you finish, they start talking Lashon Hara again. But the time that they were actually quiet, today it's very difficult, because unless it's Shabbos, people are always on their phones. So they're not paying so much attention anyway in the first place. It's difficult. I'm not saying anyone here. I see that those whose cameras are open are not on their phones. But sometimes I go places where I find people are always on their phones. So that's a little bit difficult because while you're trying to listen to the shiur, you're typing away. So you hope what they're typing is for Talis. I know sometimes people take notes on their phones, and it happens to be that those people always come over to me after and say, I'm sorry, I wasn't texting, I was taking notes on my phone. So it's just interesting, they're sensitive to that idea. But in general, if when you're speaking, you can keep people quiet, said the Chavetz Chaim to his Talmud, even after they start speaking incorrectly, after the time you kept them quiet is of immeasurable reward for those people and for your zchus. So what more can you ask? So you see the power from these few sources of just being able to hold your tongue for a few moments, just giving a sigh that you want to be better in the Yanei Shemar Sashon, that you're aware of it, that you're committing the time to learn about it, that you're taking the time to listen to the shir, to try and stir yourself to repentance. That alone, that trying is all worth it. So if you hold back one time, that's even more worth it. And if you hold back a few times, it's immeasurable benefit. Going back to Victor Miller. Now, I know when you talk about Lashon Hara today, it's a popular subject. People learn the Sefer Chavetz Chaim, and they learn Shmiras HaLashon, and they think that Lashon Hara only means gossip. It means talking evil about people. But I think as we have and continue to explore in this Shir series, it is way more than just talking about people. Says Rav Avigdor Miller, of course it does. It does include evil gossip about people. And that is a subject that needs a great deal of circumspection, a great deal of caution. Netzor Lashon Chameira, guard your tongue from wickedness. Lashon, be careful what you need. Now, a person who talks bad about people is a Rasha Gomer, no question about it. Quote, but he's not the only poisonous person the Nachash is talking about. There's a different type of Lashon Hara, wicked tongue, that is often overlooked. And that's the Lashon Hara of saying hurtful words to your fellow man, to hurt people's feelings. And that's one of the things that we say, the Tefillah Al Hadibur. This is very much what we daven for. It's not only Lashon Hara, Machlokas, Ka'as, Gaiva, Ona'as, Tvarim, Leitzanus. Those are all ways that with our tongue we cause hurt to another person. Lashon Hara of saying hurtful words to your fellow man, to hurt people's feelings, that's real Lashon Hara. Quote, says Rav Miller, that is the most wicked tongue. So I am going now to Sefer Chavetz Chaim. Right? This is a pretty new Sefer that was put out. I bought it a few months ago, I think. Okay, in Z. Berman. Hilchos Lashon Hara. And I was looking through the overview, right? Introduction to the Sefer, and that's what we're going to learn through now. The last one we just read from Avigdor Miller is that it's hurtful words, not only evil gossip, but causing hurt to another person, so you're worse than the Nachash who will be on the stage B'Yemos, end of days, okay? And when the Kates comes. Okay, so I am quoting from the overview of the Sefer, the Art School newly published Sefer, of Sefer Chavetz Chaim, The Laws of Lashon Hara, Volume 1. The Torah's laws of speech, whose observance is encapsulated in the timeless term Shmir Salashan. So this term Shmir Salashan is really a very broad umbrella and encompasses so many aspects of guarding our tongue that merchant said to the Chavetz Chaim, I can't even do it. So the Chavetz Chaim said, don't say you can't bother. Just learn about it at least. Give a sigh about it. Shmir Salashan constitutes God's plan for how people should live with each other. They are the tools that the Torah has given us. What are the tools? To remove anger, ka'as, bitterness, maris nefesh, jealousy, kina, from our hearts. The tools of Shmir Salashan are given to us by the Torah to remove anger, bitterness, jealousy from our hearts, to eliminate strife, machlokes, hurt, and divisiveness from the Jewish people. And in this essay, which I hope I'm going to have time to get to today, but I'm not sure, I think so. I find this particularly apropos because he specifically talks about Churban Beis HaMikdash. When we examine the workings of our words, we will come to see that they, more than any other human capacity, define us. So animals also have very base needs that we have. They have the excretory system, they have the vascular system, the cardiac system, they have the need to eat, they have a need to procreate. Animals do many, many things that human beings do as well. What defines us is the examining of the words that we speak. What we say and how we say it is who we are. Angry, hurtful words define an angry, hurtful person. Kind, considerate words define a kind and considerate person. This can be seen considering the unique nature of the tongue. Points out something very, very interesting in this essay. The tongue is partly hidden and partly revealed. It is usually not seen. So even when a person speaks, think about it, how much you actually see the tongue. Like I'm speaking now, watch me. You don't see the tongue so very much. It's not like a snake that it's always coming out of the mouth. The tongue is partly hidden, but it's partly revealed. It's usually not seen, but it's always heard. The Maharal concludes, Hashem designed the tongue to reflect its function. The function of the tongue is to reveal the hidden self. So this dichotomy of tongue, partly revealed, partly hidden, is meant to reveal the function of the tongue. Through speech, we reveal our hidden self. We reveal our thoughts, our ideas, our personality through our tongue. The tongue takes these hidden elements from within the person, the machshavos, like Rabbi Zavlev says, losh. The tongue kneads it all together and puts it forth. The tongue takes these hidden elements, says the Maharal, from within the person, and through words brings the person out into the open. So people know so much about you, and it's so true. Based on how you speak, what you speak about, who you talk about, people come to know the person that you are through your words. So the tongue reveals the hidden aspects of yourself. And that's why the tongue, says Maharal, is partly hidden and partly revealed. The laws of proper speech are Hashem's specific, practical directives for how to use this defining capacity. They teach us how to look at people. They teach us how to speak to people. They teach us how to speak about people. They reflect the Torah's wisdom, which foresees the impact and ripple effect of every negative word. So one negative word doesn't just affect that person. There will be a ripple effect often down here in Olam Hazeh, and certainly there will be a ripple effect up there in the Olam HaEmes. Of every negative word, the Torah understands, quote, at the core of virtually every broken friendship, shattered career, or divorce is a seed of hatred. A seed usually planted by Herfura. There are certainly exceptions to this rule, but generally, when we think of broken relationships, when we think of a shattered career, often the root is a negative word, a hurtful word, a slanderous word. The Torah's laws reflect Hashem's knowledge that much of life's pain and anguish can be averted by restraining ourselves from sowing these seeds of discord. It is actually a simple principle, if only it was simple. Removing negativity, gossip, and slander, and divisiveness from our vocabulary automatically and dramatically improves our own lives and the lives of everyone in our environment. So when we can remove this negativity from our vocabulary, which is negativity, ayin ra, gossip, slander, and divisiveness, it improves not only our lives, but the lives of all those around us. Right here in everyday life, the rewards of Shmir Salashon shine brightly for anyone to see. When King David wrote, Mi ha'ish ha'chafetz chayim, he was speaking of the beauty and peace, the shleimus and the shalom that Shmir Salashon imprints on our lives in this world. I was thinking it's so interesting. The shleimus and shalom, the first two letters are shin and lamed. And Shem and Lamed goes, the first two letters of Shalom and Shleimus is Shin and Lamed. Of course, Shin and Lamed is the same two letters as Alash, Lamed Shin, which is the root word of the tongue. So if we know how to knead our words properly, ultimately it will lead to the truest Shleimus and the ultimate Shalom, which will, Be'ezer Hashem, reverse the process of Sinas Chinna. To understand why the Torah focuses so intently on speech takes only a cursory look at how the world acts upon the word. One person can enter a room, speak a few angry words, and quickly set everyone around him on edge. If you've ever been in such a situation, you know that's absolutely true. There'll be a room for people. It doesn't have to be 200 people. It could be a small amount of people. Excuse me. One angry person comes in, the entire tone and feeling in the room changes. Everyone in the room is affected by that person's anger. It's I can tell you that it's absolutely a mess. What did I just want to say? Oh, it's Parshas Pinchas. In the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, we have the Korban Tamid. Okay, Perichav Ches, where we have other Korbanos. So it begins with the Tamid, because the Tamid opens the morning sacrifice and closes the day sacrifice. And that's, by the way, also related to Shivas Rabbatamas, because Shivas Rabbatamas, the Mishnah Tainis tells us, Perek Dal Mishnah Vav, that one of the tragedies of Shivas Rabbatamas was Batal HaTamid. There was no more Kevas Echa Tasa Baboka Vesa Kevas Hashini Tasa Barut and Har Abayim. There was no more sheep to be used for the Korban Tamid. That was one of the five disasters. The Mishnah Tainis says five disasters of Shivas Rabbatamas. That was one of them, Batal HaTamid. Okay, so the pasuk says in Pinchas Perach of Chasim regarding the Korban Tamid, "Esa keves echad ta'aseh b'boker, esa keves hasheni t'aseh ben ha'arbaim k'mechas ha'bocher v'kenisko." One keves, one lamb, one sheep you should do in the morning, and one you should do in the afternoon. But Rav Meilich Biederman says, I think I've told this to you before, but it is definitely worth repeating. Keves is the same word as kovesh. Once again, going back to Shorashim. Okay? Ezu giber ha-kovesh asiyatro, kovesh, to conquer your inclination, is the same word as keves. So in a very Hasidic style interpretation of the pasuk, Rav Meilich says, as a keves echot ha-seh b'boker, you must be kovesh your yetzer in the morning, when you start the day. As a keves hasheni t'aseh ben ha'arbay, when you come home at the end of a long day, you must be once again kovesh your yetzer. You have to be kovesh your yetzer when you wake up and you're about to start the day and talk to the people in your home. And after the whole long day, when everyone comes back together into the house, be kovesh your yetzer once again. That's the korban tamid a person has to offer. B'vavi mishkan evne. You have to offer the korban of yourself to the Ribbono Shel Olam kaviyacha. A person can enter a room, speak a few angry words, and quickly set everyone around him on edge. A few careless words between friends can be all that's needed to forever alter the relationship. One derogatory word that labels another person as slow, sloppy, or spoiled makes that perception true in the minds of all who hear it. Think so much of what that means for a child who is labeled by a teacher as sloppy, slow, spoiled, belligerent, stupid. Excuse me, yes, it happens. Think of what it means for the child's future. From grade to grade, every teacher who hears the reputation precedes the child. It will, Rahman al-Tzan, it can become a self-fulfilling prophecies. Or our words can affect miracles. Words of encouragement can dispel despair. Even for someone in a difficult situation, words have the power to take what is ordinary and make it holy. They turn a glass of wine into kiddush. What makes the wine kiddush? A mundane cup of wine. We're dog sitting. We have a few more days before she goes back. Did you just hear her crying? Okay, but she's been quiet the whole time. She's usually quiet. She may have seen my husband. She loves my husband. He just came in. Coco, I only have 4 more minutes. Sorry. Words of encouragement can dispel despair, even for someone in a terribly difficult situation. Words have the power to take what is ordinary and make it holy. What is simply words? I take a glass of wine mundane wine and turn into Kiddush. One second. She loves my husband. I went to Rabbi Zavlaff say something extremely interesting. She's a puppy. She's 6 months old. Someone from Cedars went to Israel and we're out dog sitting. She must have seen him. She literally cries when he leaves the room. When he does Amud Yomi in the morning, the rabbi's away, so it's on Zoom. So he sits at the dining room table, and she's listening to shir. After the shir, when he leaves the room, she literally starts crying. Did she see you when you came in?
No.
She knew you came in. She was silent the whole time. I went to Rabbi Zav, like literally silent, and then he came in and she started crying. Rabbi Zavlaff, I went to him, he was talking about Pirkei Avos. And I actually want to reach out to him and ask him. I don't remember which Mishnah it was, but it was a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos about someone who is beloved by creatures. So what does it mean? He was giving so many different interpretations according to all the Mefarshim. One of them actually relates to our Shia. One of them was someone who is beloved by his family and his spouse is truly a beloved person. Because the spouse is the best gauge of what that person really is. He could put on a show to the whole entire world, but the spouse knows who that person really is. So someone who is beloved by the spouse is beloved by creatures. But another pshat he gave is when that person is beloved by animals, he's truly beloved. He mamish gave that in a shir. He was saying it. And I just, this experience with this dog sitting has really made me think of that very much because this dog loves my husband. Okay. They turn a glass of wine into Kiddush, a loaf of bread into an offering. And words turn a man and a woman, two single people, into a couple, united through the sanctity of Jewish marriage. What made the base glass of wine into something that is now Mikudash? What made a loaf of bread into a Korban Mincha? What made two separate people into a married couple? Think about it. Just words. The Chofetz Chaim says, when someone observes the laws of Shmiras HaLashon, inevitably he evolves into a better person. So remember we read in the other source, Rabbi M.M. Yashar, Chofetz Chaim said to the man, even if you think you can't keep it, just buy the Sefer. Study the laws. Why? Because you're going to see it's going to affect you. You'll turn into a better person. You might just give a sigh, maybe even more than a sigh. It's inevitable that when someone studies the laws of Shmiras HaLashon, says the Chofetz Chaim, they evolve into a better person. There is no better chizuk for those of us who take the time to try so hard. May the Ribbono Shel Olam help us to observe and to help ourselves improve in this area. That is because in every interaction with his words, he is focused on not causing others pain. It can't be, it's not possible, says the Chofetz Chaim, that you study these laws, that you study these inyanim, and you're not focused on your interaction with somebody else. And therefore, in every interaction, you're focused on not causing other pain. Time after time, day after day, the person who is careful with his speech calls that imperative into play. The being careful with speech informs his decisions, what he says, and what he thinks. Eventually, it becomes who he is. So studying the inyanim of Shmiras HaLashon inevitably causes a person to be better. Because what you're focused on is how will my words cause someone else pain, time after time, day after day. Someone careful with speech will eventually inform his decisions, what he says, what he thinks. Eventually becomes who he is. And that's really what Rabbi Zavlaff was saying about Losh. You have your thoughts, you have your dibur Losh, your tongue kneads it all together, and then it produces and projects the innermost, says the Maharal. What is the job of the tongue? To take what is hidden and to reveal it. So, of course, we have to make sure. I didn't get to it today, but the next time we meet, I don't know if it's good news or not good news, if Mashiach doesn't come, but the next time we meet is still, unfortunately, going to be the 3 weeks, so you will see, so we're going to be beginning, that he relates these ideas to the 3 weeks. Again, I'm quoting from the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, Laws of Lashon Hara, Art School Elucidated. So if Ezra Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam should continue to help us, to give us the kochos to study this, sigh about it, cry about it, daven about it, and hopefully it'll change our interactions and speech at least one time, if not more. And then the whole purpose is for Toelis. Thank you so much, everybody. This year should be a Zechira and Aliyah Neshama for Tzvi Gershon ben Yoav Achana, Alav Hashem, and Zev Wolf ben Yeshaya, Alav Hashem. May both Neshamas have Aliyos, Sherbish Suras Tovos, and Halavai in 2 weeks. It shall not be the 3 weeks, because it will be Yemos HaMashiach and Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. Kol Tov. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a wonderful day.